Well, good morning. It is a privilege to speak with you this morning. In 30 years of ministry, this is my very first Palm Sunday to ever get to speak. Thank you, Pastor Andrew. I know that pastors usually save Palm Sunday for themselves because it is a great day, a celebration in the life of a believer. But as a youth pastor, it's hard to get past and break habits and things like that. And so I'm brainstorming about the message that we're doing today. And we're looking at the last words of Jesus. It is finished. So as I'm thinking about this, while I was watching the puppets earlier, we got this idea about how to illustrate it's finished. As you can see, we've got some things here on the table, and we're going to build something. Now, Rocky was a little bit confused in the puppet skit earlier. He did bring up, when he heard the word Palm Sunday, he brought up strawberry sundaes and chocolate sundaes, ice cream sundaes. Well, we got a little sundae here. Now, we've got a bowl of ice cream. Ice cream in and of itself is good. It really is. But if we want a sundae, we've got some things we got to add to it. For some, they love chocolate. So we're going to put a little bit of chocolate on it. And makes it a little better. Yeah, sweetness and all. And then what's next? You know, oh, we need some sprinkles. Everybody likes sprinkles. Well, we got some sprinkles on it. But here's the thing. It's still not done. It's still not complete. We need some of that sugary sweetness. Yeah, some whipped cream. We're gonna add some whipped cream. Oh, it's falling off the back. But anyway, that's still good. I don't know. For me, I like whipped cream. It may be better than ice cream. Maybe it's still good. But it's still not complete. You know what makes this sundae complete? A cherry. A cherry on top. Now, you see that cherry on top? That sundae is now finished. That cherry. Oh, let's see. Perfect. That cherry is finished. It is complete. Oh, good stuff. But you know, it wasn't done until the last part was complete, the cherry. Well, that made me think about the last words of Jesus. It is finished. We're going to be looking at John chapter 19, verses 28 to 30. And I want to read that to you, share that with you this now. But after we read it, I want to walk through a little bit of the word and what it means before we dive into the application of it. But here we go. John chapter 19, verse 28, 29, and 30. It says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scriptures, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he lowered his head, and he gave up the spirit. First off, we want to look at this, the word, it is finished. If we go back into the Greek of this word, there's some things that we need to understand because the Greek language is different in a lot of aspects to our language. Understanding that this word, it is finished, is the very last thing Jesus said before he took his last breath. And he died. To be honest, after studying this for this past week, I'm convinced this might be the greatest word Jesus ever said. It is finished. Here's what it means. It means paid in full. It means have completed the work assigned. It means debt paid in full. It's like this. You have now made your final payment on your home mortgage. It is paid in full. It's like someone borrowing money from an individual or somebody, and you're making that final payment. It is now paid in full. It's like an artist writing a book, and they have now wrote the very final chapter of the book, and it is finished. It is complete. So understand this. We know that it is finished means paid in full. We also must understand the tense of the word in the Greek. We in the English language, we have past tense, present tense, and future tense. In the Greek, has the same tenses, plus what's called the perfect tense. And this is in the perfect tense, which means all the above. It means it is finished. It is past tense. It is finished. It is present tense. It is finished. And it is future tense. It is finished. It means all of it is finished. Past, present, and future. All the above. So understanding that, what does this passage mean? It is finished. So we want to look at five different meanings from this passage. First off, as we can see that Jesus, it said that to fulfill the scriptures, said, I thirst. You see, it is finished means all fulfillment of all prophecies of his coming, of his death, and all fulfillment of Old Testament law is now complete. It was finished. It is finished. In Genesis, where it begins, Genesis 3:15 says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. That's between Satan and the woman. There's going to be a struggle. And between your offspring and her offspring, he will bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. That is a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. That is now fulfilled. In Psalms chapter 22, verse 15, my strength is dried up like a postered, and my tongue sticks to my jaws, and you lay me in the dust of death. That is a prophecy of what we just read in John 19. It is now complete. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6 says, surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Everything that was prophesied for us to have forgiveness is now complete. It is now finished. So when we look at this passage, everything in the Old Testament prophesying of Jesus Christ, every law that was written in the Old Covenant was now complete. Number two, the earthly ministry of Jesus is now finished. John 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He came to seek and save me. He came to seek and save you. And he did it. It's complete. Romans 3:23-25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by the grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he has passed over former sins. The earthly ministry Jesus was complete. Not only his earthly ministry of doing what it takes to restore our relationship with God, but his ministry of loving on people, feeding the poor, healing the sick, that was complete on earth. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. You see, Jesus came for a purpose. And when he said it was finished, his earthly purpose was now complete. It was finished. You see, Jesus' suffering, number three, was finished. I don't know if you've had the chance to watch the show, the movie, The Passion of the Christ. It is very graphic. Very graphic. Picturing of what happened to Jesus on his way to the cross. But if we read Mark chapter 14, 15, we can read through some of the things that he suffered. He was tied up. He was lied about. He was blindfolded. He was slapped. He was scourged. He was whipped. He was flogged. He was beaten. He was spit upon. And he was mocked. All those things have now come to an end. It is finished. He was tied up for us. He was lied about. He was blindfolded. Slapped, scourged, whipped, flogged, beaten, spit upon, and mocked. All for us. And that suffering is now finished. Just so that we understand all of this, you know, when he was slapped, that was an act of humiliation. We know what that is. It's very humiliating, and that was an act of humiliating. When he was flogged, I want you to picture a whip. And it was not just a whip. It was a whip that on the ends of it has rocks and pieces of bone and stuff, so that when the whip hit him, it just didn't put a whelp. It actually pulled flesh off. He was done. He was brutally beaten and humiliated. And when he said it's finished, he said, my suffering here on the earth is now done. It's now complete. That was number three. Number four, the defeat of the power of sin and Satan is now defeated. It is now finished. It is now complete. He defeated sin. And let's go back. We talked about the tenses of this word. When he said it's finished, he defeated sin in the past. He defeated my sin I've committed. He defeated the sin I may commit and walk in today. And he has defeated my sin that I will walk in the future. He has defeated all of it. He's defeated the power of Satan in the same way in the past, the present, and the future. He has defeated it. Ephesians 2:1 said, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Then verse 5 said, even when we were dead in our trespasses, we're made alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He has defeated the power of sin upon us and the power of Satan. Ephesians 2:16 says, that we may reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. You see, when we sin, that separates us from God. Sin separates, and it puts a barrier between God. It puts us at odds with God. Sin does. And through his death, when he finished it, he killed that hostility that's between us and God because of sin. So you see, it is finished means the fulfillment of prophecies and Old Testament law was now complete. Jesus' earthly ministry was now complete. Jesus' suffering was now complete. The defeat of sin and the power of Satan is now complete. But also finished is the plan and the payment for our salvation. Jesus didn't wipe away the debt that I owe for my sin or the debt that you owe for your sin. He paid that debt in full. When God looks at us, He doesn't see that sin that separates. He sees Christ's payment for that sin on our behalf. And the great part is of this is we don't have to work for our salvation for this. The work was finished on the cross and it's free for us. It is complete. John 1:29 says, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It is complete. The plan for our salvation and the payment is now complete. Romans 3:24 through 26. We are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation for by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. It's paid. It's done. It reminds me of something I read earlier this week. And I don't even remember where I read it or who said it. But a young man asked a preacher one time, what must I do to be saved? That's a very common question. And the answer that he gave back was kind of startling to me a little bit. But he looked at him and said, young man, it's too late. That got my attention, but he said, it's too late because it's already been done. Now it's up to you to accept it through faith. What we must do to be saved is already done. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full accepting, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. It has already been done. It's complete. It reminds me of a hymn I have shared with some. I grew up in a church that, we did the old hymns every Sunday, over and over. And this is one particular hymn that I told Pastor Andrew, I wouldn't doubt that we didn't do it every Sunday. But the hymn was, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues. Verse 3 or 4, somewhere in that, it says this. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avail for me. That is the payment and the plan for our salvation. That's complete, it's finished, it's paid in full, and it's free. You see, it is finished. Many people with that word saw that as a term of defeat. A lot of people see that as it's over, as in defeat. But it was not. It was and is and will always be a cry of victory. When it says he cried out, don't think of the word crying as remorseful or giving in to defeat. It's like this. I know that there's not a whole lot going on, so I've watched some old throwback stuff on TV. Like, there's no sports on TV. I like sports. I like football. There's nothing like that on. So I might have rewatched a football game that happened this past season. My team might have won. They may have won the national championship, but I won't throw out any names. But it made me think how excited people get in those times when their team wins, when their team wins the big game. I know this. I might have been guilty of it, that as they scored touchdowns, and I might say many of them, it become where it wasn't just like, good job. Got a little excited. Might have jumped up a few times. I don't know. But it was like, yes, yes. You see, when it says Jesus cried out, it was that type of emotion of celebration, because When he said, "It is finished," it was not words of defeat. It was a shout of victory. Because what he come to do for me and you, he finished it. It was complete. It was a shout of triumph from the cross. In a way, I see it as this, as him saying, "Satan, you've lost. We've got victory. We have victory through Christ's work on the cross." And his words, "It is finished," was a shout of triumph. Everything we need for salvation is paid in full. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The divine justice of God was now satisfied for believers yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Death, eternal separation from God, is the payment for sin, and Jesus paid that debt in full on our behalf, on my behalf. So here's what I want you to get from this. Just what does this mean for me today as a believer? That through Jesus' complete work on the cross, we can live with purpose. We can live with focus. We can live in obedience, and we can live in victory. Now you see why this might be one of the greatest statements, words that Jesus ever spoke. Because this word is a word of victory. Because it is finished, you and I can enjoy salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ without fear that our works are not good enough. We can enjoy fellowship with the Lord, knowing He accepts us because we accept His salvation, His forgiveness of sin through faith in Him. So the invitation is, do you know Jesus' salvation and forgiveness? Do you know it? As we studied back last year, as a church, we walked through the three circles. And I just want to walk through it just real quick. You see, God has created us to walk with Him in peace and harmony. Just like Adam and Eve was created to walk with Him in the garden, we're created to walk. Adam and Eve sinned and was separated. When we sin, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we're separated. And you see, when we're separated from God through sin, we have to come to the realization that that sin has a payment, that sin has a cost. For the wages of sin is death. That is eternal separation from God. And you see, we do so many different things to try to fill that gap to get back right with God. We try help books. We try to be good. We try works of all kinds. But it don't work. But we do have a promise that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So how does that come about? That come about because Jesus finished the work of salvation on our behalf. That is how we have the gift of God. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." That is this picture right here of "it is finished." God loved it. That is how we are restored back to God. So how do we do it? It is simply you believing in your heart, putting faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible said that if we confess our sins before Him, He is faithful and just to hear our prayers and answer our prayer. So it is pouring your heart out to God, asking Him to forgive you of your sins, believing that He died on a cross for you, and asking Him to come in and to be your Lord and Savior. That's how you do it. I want you to know that you can accept Jesus, His forgiveness, His salvation, right where you are today watching this. You can do it there. It is saying that prayer of asking God to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, believing that He died on the cross for you, and asking Him to be your Savior. You can do that. Only you can do that for yourself. Mom can, Dad can't do it, grandparents can't do it. Only you can do it. It's a personal decision. And you can do it right where you're sitting right now. Now, if you say that prayer, I want to encourage you to let someone know. Let a believer, let a friend that is there, let them know. Call them and say, I give my heart to Christ. Because I tell you what, they want to celebrate that with you. But if you say, I don't fully understand it, I want to know more, I'd like to talk with someone about this, I want to know more about putting faith in Jesus, you can call Pastor Andrew or myself. Call the numbers on the screen. We would love, we consider it a privilege and an honor to pray with you and walk with you to your new life in Christ, to this new journey. There's nothing more important in this life than having purpose. And Christ gives us purpose. It gives us hope through his finished work on the cross. So I want to encourage you to call someone. Talk to someone about your new journey, your new life that you can have in Christ. Thank you for joining with us this morning. I want to say a word of prayer for us. Father, we are so thankful that we don't have to rely on things for us to do to earn your love, to earn your forgiveness, to earn salvation. Father, the Bible says that our best is not good enough because we're sinful people, Father, and we're going to mess it up. But we know that Jesus Christ, throughout his life, lived a perfect life. And when he died on the cross, he didn't die for any sins he committed because he was perfect. He died on the cross to pay the debt for the sins that we have committed. And we can receive that forgiveness, Father, through faith. Putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have that hope. And Father, through all of that, not only do we have purpose in life, not only can we have focus in life, Father, we can live in victory through Jesus Christ because we know he has overcome sin and the power of Satan upon us. We just thank you for that victory that we have. And I pray, Father, that each person that's listening has looked into their heart and they say, in their they're either, Father, going, I'm at peace knowing that I have victory in Christ. Or we pray, Father, if they've not done that, that they do that today. And that they call someone or they let someone know. Again, Father, we pray for what's going on in our country. Father, we do pray as the doctors and the scientists and all are working on things, Father, that will help with the virus. We pray you give them wisdom as they're working through things. We pray for our doctors and nurses that are on the front line, Father, dealing with the virus and all the complications of it. We pray your hand of protection to be upon them, and we pray for their strength and their patience through this time. And I pray, Father, that we as a church will always do the things that will point people to Christ. And that, Father, that we're setting the example what it means to be not only love God first, but to love our neighbor, Father, and that we do those things because we know it honors you. And we just pray, Father, you bless as only you can, and that even through difficult times, we can look at your promises that are fulfilled. And, Father, we can live in peace knowing you're in control. We thank you for that because we know that all of this is possible because of your finished work on the cross. And it's in your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Again, we thank you for tuning in through Facebook or the radio. We do.